On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
So you get excited because they're excited, gets me excited, gets all of our fans excited, and our sponsors. So it's going to work out.
Bless you, boys! Unbelievable! I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
Step into the well-informed, ill-advised, and oddly entertaining world of Tall Can Sports.
Here we go!
Light the candle!
How's it going, everybody? Welcome back from your long weekend to another work week. It's Matt Robinson here with you on the Tall Can Sports Podcast, joined by Maddie Lang tonight. What's happening, man?
Not much, man. Just enjoying the long weekend up here in Canada.
Yeah, for sure. I know not everybody listening is enjoying that, but one of the nice things we have going on anyway. It's, I guess the Americans get Memorial Day next weekend, so they can play a little catch-up at that point.
And they have a lot of catching up to do from what I was following along in your Instagram feed there.
Oh, man. It's been a good weekend of craft beers. We'll run through a little bit of it. Did you get to try anything else? You got something going tonight?
Tonight, I've got something from a local brewery here in the Upper Beaches called from Rorschach Brewing. It's called Hedonism. It's a blackcurrant sorbet sour IPA.
Wow.
Yeah, so...
Complicated, man.
It's very complicated, very long name, very delicious. It's kind of like a sweet but sour beer. Good way to end a long weekend.
I've got one here that I'm about to crack open. I've never tried before. I know you've been following along as anybody can at Tall Can Audio on Instagram. We were out, I was out in Nova Scotia last weekend, and I think I mentioned this on the show, so I won't go too deep into it, but behind security there, they've got a store that does nothing but local craft beers and wines and stuff. It's a really cool idea. So hit that guy up. And so I'm still working through some of what he recommended for me. This is from the Lund's Mill Brewery there in Nova Scotia, and it's called the Anvil Porter. So as most people are starting to notice and hit me up on Twitter, I'm mostly into the dark stuff, and this is no different. So it's like I said, we'll throw these up, as we always do, at Tall Can Audio on Instagram. Maddie will throw his up. I'll put mine up there. But this one, yeah, it's the Anvil Porter from Lund's Mill.
Now, actually, Matt, before we dive into the sport talk, as it's all coming back around to me, on Friday I did hit one of the other local breweries in the neighborhood. And I would love to tell you what I had, but...
Had too many of them.
Had too many. So I'm sure I threw it up on Twitter at the moment when I was enjoying them, but I could not tell you what the hell I drank. So
okay, so I often forget to do this, but we always mention Maddie's Instagram, which is at Matt Does Physio. You can check him out there. He also posts some of his beer stuff for us at Tall Can Audio. But this is his Twitter if you want to follow along at Matthew Lang. For some reason, there's an I in Lang, L-A-I-N-G. So you can give him a follow there for some of his more in-the-moment type of observations. You mentioned following along, man, this weekend. I was plowing through some stuff. There's a few things that happened. My mom, God love her, it was her birthday this weekend. Happy birthday, Mom. I know you're listening, and usually several months late, but to a lot of these. And so when she sees stuff with a cool name, she likes to grab them for me if it makes her laugh or something like that. So she brought me one called the Skinny Dippin' Stout, which was from the Sawdust City Brewery, and it was pretty tasty. It's kind of like an oatmeal stout. It was pretty nice. And it's not summer.
if there's anything I think about when I think about the Robinsons, it's skinny dipping.
Skinny dipping, yeah. You know, those family vacations get a little weird, man, I guess. But no, it's, you know, it's not even, you can't even call it summer until you've had your first skinny dip. So that was from Sawdust City. That was pretty good. I also had one from, I think it was called the Walkerville Brewery down in near Windsor, called the Easy Stout. And she found, just because she knows it's one of my personal favorites, the Railway City, which you were trying last week.
There we go. I noticed that going up on the Instagram feed.
Yeah, the Black Coal Stout. So I had a couple of those. And then my dad, he was into the Old Flame Brewery. And I posted a bunch about this on Instagram. We both really love their stuff. And it's named, you know, the brewery being Old Flame. It's supposed to bring back memories and maybe some past loves or whatever. So their beers are all, you know, Dirty Blonde, Brunette, Red, right? And they're all kind of maybe the girls you've seen in the past, right? So I always dig that. And
is that supposed to bring up good memories or bad memories?
Well, you know what? After you have a few, you get emotional. It is what it is, right? You can take it however you need to. But they had put out a new one that he grabbed, and it was called Raven. And it was a black lager. It was one of the best beers I can remember having in months and months and months. Like we loved it. Right. And, put some kind reviews up on Untappd and on Instagram of it. And they hit us back and that's cool. That right now was just in like a mini, you know, what do they call them there? You brought them from, Steam Whistle. Come on. The growler. It was a mini growler.
Oh, a mini growler. Okay. Yeah.
So
that's what threw me off the mini part.
No, I know. Yeah. So we were on them like, you got to start canning this. This was outstanding. And they need to get that into mass production. So if you're in the Port Perry area or you see the Old Flame anywhere, look for the Raven. All their stuff is good, but look for the Raven. It was, that was a great one. So
that's a good one to know because that's up in cottage country. So
yeah,
I'm sure a lot of the listeners will be driving through there at some point.
That's true, man. Yeah. And so it's been a busy craft beer kind of weekend. But Maddie Lang and I, we didn't want to leave you hanging. We didn't do the traditional Monday show because it's a holiday Monday, but we will have something that you're listening to right now for your Tuesday morning. We got a couple of things to cover. I wanted to start with just before, you know, we're going to talk a little Raptors here because things have gotten really interesting there. But I want to start with the Blue Jays, who played a Monday afternoon game today on a national holiday at home and put Vlad Guerrero on the bench. Did you have any chance to see the reaction to this on Twitter? Did you hear about it as it was going down? Did you see any of the game?
I didn't even need to read about it on Twitter.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, soon as the second I heard about it on the radio, I could just have imagined the shitstorm that was happening.
Yeah.
As somebody who, like, you know, we can all complain about Major League Baseball and their scheduling, and maybe the Jays should have been home for the entire weekend. And they weren't. They came home for today's game.
That's right.
It's a matinee game. I only heard about this on Friday, I think, while I was at work. And I thought, oh, maybe that would be a good chance to grab tickets. And
yep.
I obviously, as you know, I decided not to do that. I decided to go golfing instead today.
Sure.
And I definitely made the right choice because if I had spent that money and that time to go down to that stadium to watch Vlad.
Yeah.
And let's not screw around. That's the reason you go down to the baseball game right now.
Yeah.
And he's not playing in a long weekend matinee game with all the families there. People probably have a right to be a little pissed off.
For those of you who haven't heard the score, the Vladless Blue Jays did get pounded down 12-2 by the Boston Red Sox. So everybody having a good time down at the Dome. Look, as a sports guy, and I know you're the same way, it's not like I don't get it. You want to rest your guys at certain points, right? You can't play every game. But this is a Monday home game on a national holiday. That's only a national holiday here. It's not even like you're competing with the American teams. He could have sat Sunday in Chicago. He could have sat one of those games in San Francisco. He could have sat tomorrow night, even here, back in Toronto, right against Boston. I understand you got to rest your guys. But this was your best chance to get an audience, and they did. This was, and this is a little sad, between 26 and 27,000 people down at the Dome was their third largest attendance of the season, behind only Vlad's debut and the home opener. So tons of people had invested in this game, right? This was a holiday. You have time to go out. Like you said, it's an afternoon game. You know what they're trying to do. And I don't think the Blue Jays management set out to be dicks here, but it's just an indication of how tone deaf they are right now, right? Like, You had all these people come and you didn't use the star that they came to see. And it just makes no sense to me, right? Even on the TV audience thing, everybody's off today. You were going to have a larger audience than usual for a Monday game. Get that guy in the fucking lineup, man.
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed that rant. I didn't want to let you get that off your chest.
Thank
there.
You, man. I appreciate that.
I just wanted to let you just get through that a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it really is tone deafness. It's absolute idiocy, quite frankly. The concept of load management is obviously a big thing right now with everything going on in basketball, especially in Toronto with how it's been paying off for Kawhi and the Raptors.
Right.
We're talking about Vlade Guerrero, who, what is he, 21 now, 22?
Yep, 21, I think.
How much load management does a kid need, first of all?
Right.
Number one. Number two, you could have picked any other fucking game this weekend to give him a day off.
Yeah.
Number three, today is the day they just named him AL Player of the Week.
Yep.
And I'm so glad that his ass on the bench.
The good fans in San Francisco and Chicago got to see the AL Player of the Week. The fans in Toronto, where he plays, did not. Great job.
Just absolute idiocy. And again, to go back to the Raptors, you want to talk about load management, and there was a lot of games that I know people went in and like, oh, you know, I'm not seeing Kyle. I'm not seeing Kawhi. When Golden State runs into town, you see them on the court.
Yeah.
You know, when Boston comes to town, you see them on the court. You're not taking off those big games. You're not playing against the fucking Knicks, you know?
No, some random Tuesday night against the Knicks where no one cares, right? If it's a big deal, your guys play.
This is just, I mean, to say it's short-sighted is one thing, but this is a team that's struggling to get people involved, struggling to get fans, struggling to connect with people.
It's
not a very good look for a team that just the fan base is pretty upset right now.
They've had so many nights where it's been 12,000, it's been 14,000 people down in this 48,000 seat dome, and you got 27,000 people to come today. How many of them will think twice next time where they go, you know, I can't count on them. I can't look. There's a certain thing in sports. It is competitiveness. They are trying to balance with entertainment, right? And being loyal to the fans. I get all that. I get that at some point this kid's going to need to sit, but you can pick your spots better. You can do it on the road. You don't have to do it on a national holiday. And when Canada Day rolls around, when August long weekend rolls around, when other occasions like this come up, you have a certain amount of people who just walked up today, right? That this was a walk-up crowd, decided to spend their money, like you were thinking about doing, on the Blue Jays, that will go, no, fuck you, right? You screwed me last time. I'm not doing that.
Matt, it's so bad. I've got some colleagues coming into town for a conference, and one of them's a huge baseball fan. So we're looking at the first week of June, and as it happens, the Yankees are in town.
Right.
That week.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's like, I can't remember, it's like the Wednesday through Friday or something like that. They're in town. Anyway, so I started looking up tickets because we're probably going to have a decent, like not a huge group, but let's say like, you know, eight people go into the game.
Sure. Yeah.
And I thought, you know, it's the Yankees. Let me take a look early. There are so many tickets available in the lower bowl. It's absolutely embarrassing. And even worse than that, I decided to go on StubHub and the tickets are even cheaper.
Yeah. For the Yankees. You can sit third, those are hard to.
That's it. And you can sit third base side where Vladdy should be playing for $50.
Right.
Which is just embarrassing because usually when the Yankees come to town, those are typically, if not sellouts, pretty damn close no matter how bad the Jays are.
That's right. Yeah.
But that to me, even before this happened this weekend, you just start to go, oh, they're in trouble.
Yeah.
This is a watermark series, and this means we're in trouble.
It's been frightening, the attendance. Like I said, 12,000, man, like the Sens are laughing at that. The Sens are drawing 12,000, no problem, right? And the Blue Jays in a 40,000 seat dome can't get, like, fuck, man. They're in rough shape. And this, look, this isn't make or break for anything. It doesn't mean that this singular moment means this for Charlie Montoyo or for Ross Adkins or for Mark Shapiro. It doesn't mean anything for Vladdy in terms of, but it's just another indication that you don't understand where you are right now. You don't understand your market. You don't understand where the fans are at. And quite frankly, and I never play this card, I don't blame people who do, but you don't understand as people who didn't grow up here, that this is a national holiday and people are off work and people are watching. And look, for Americans or wherever the fuck Montoya's from, Puerto Rico or the Dominican Republic, it doesn't matter. Not here, right? I'm not saying it has to be all Canadians. You got to be more plugged in than that, man. It's the Red Sox on a Monday afternoon on a national holiday, and you only got one chip that people care about. You play that goddamn chip. It's that simple for me, man.
And I don't think you're going to hear anybody who will disagree with you. I did catch a little bit of the Twitter and people being, you know, let's just move past it. I don't think you do. I just don't think you do, because this is just another misplay in a long string poorly played decisions, right?
Yep, that's right.
And at some point you can keep going, it's okay. Oh, this was too bad.
Yeah. But you get to sit back and shake your head. You get to question, you go, what are you doing? What are you thinking? Like, you'd love to think that the manager and the GM and the president and stuff have this stuff under control, but is there not someone in PR or marketing who comes up and goes, hey, this is a good attendance day. Don't fuck it up. Nah, whatever. We'll just stupid.
And
man.
I mean, they're already in a tough spot right now with the Leafs and Raptors having gone to the playoffs, and obviously the Raptors in the conference finals right now.
Yeah.
You know, your pool of people to go to games is increasingly smaller at this time of the season,
that's
right?
That's true, yeah.
You know, if it's Canada Day, it's still going to sell out.
We may have to put a pint on that.
Are they even in Toronto? I should even ask before I
have no idea.
Who knows? You know what I mean? Like, eventually there'll be enough walk-up to fill some day, fill, not sell out, some days in the summer when it's 30 degrees in Toronto and there's nothing else to do in the middle of July and August. But fuck, man, it's really embarrassing when, you know, having been to the ACC yesterday and it's just a jam-packed house and it's going to be the same way on Tuesday night. God, even the local rugby team, the Wolfpack, they had 9,000 people out two Saturdays ago.
Right.
Which was an outdoor venue, and it wasn't very pretty.
And it's for rugby, and they're almost equaling the Blue Jays in attendance on some nights. So,
and rugby is not like your cornerstone Canadian sport, let's say that. And they don't have one Canadian on the team, and I think most people, even in the stadium, would find it hard to pick a couple of those guys out in a lineup.
Yeah. You brought up an interesting point there, and this is something I don't think I've ever talked about on the show before, but it's been on my mind for a while. There should never be, given the number of days between them, the Blue Jays should never be on the road on Canada Day. There is only one team playing in Canada. You find somebody, send Milwaukee up here, send Minnesota up here, whatever. Someone's playing in Toronto on Canada Day, and the Blue Jays should never be at home on July 4th. It's 3 days later. Most series are 3 days long, right? You play the first, second, and third in one city if you have to, and then on to the Blue Jays should always be on the road on July 4th. So that
should be very simple.
Yeah. You don't need anybody having to play in Canada on July 4th when they could be having you should be able to schedule that. And yet, time after time, you see games where Toronto's on the road on the 1st and hosting teams on the 4th. It's fucking stupid. Why don't we get into the Raptors here? We haven't chatted about this in almost a week, I guess since before the series started. Just before we jump into that, don't forget, if you want to help out the show, the best way you can do that is to right there in your podcast app, especially you Apple users, leave us a rating and a review. Really helps us move around in the standings and get the show noticed. So if you want to help out the show, just do that at Talkin Audio on your iTunes there. It'd really help us out. The Raptors, I watched all of game one, and despite only a couple of guys really having it going and Kyle especially having the game of his life, they managed to let that one slip away in the fourth quarter. Game two was never really in question, think you'd say. And game three, you know, it was a pretty good game back and forth. You were at game three down in Toronto. Before we get into the specifics of the series thus far, what was the atmosphere like when the team got home? Were fans flustered to be down by two, or was the energy still, you know, where you'd expect it to be?
I think overall the fans in Toronto were a little flustered, and definitely it was not a good feeling if you were just to talk to the average fan.
Right.
I was a little bit worried heading down to the arena, but once you got down there, everybody was in full force. The crowd was ecstatic. There's just a shit ton of celebrities in the stands. Mike Myers was there, yeah. Gucci Mane. Obviously, Drake was up there trying to pretend he was a coach again.
Yeah, saw that.
Guys like GSP were there. Urkel from Family Matters.
I saw that too. What
was
the
out
fuck?
There too. Yeah. I was like, oh, he's still a thing, eh? Yeah, okay.
GSP, that's cool. He's in town, I guess. It's...
So, yeah, and who knows why he was there, but there's a couple people from CBC shows that I noticed around like the concourse level just walking by.
Yeah.
I might have been the only person under 40.
Wendy Mesley.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I'm in the minority recognizing these people here, but
that's that guy from Schitt's Creek.
Yeah. Okay, no, listen.
Jerry D, what's up?
Levy's there.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Gene Levy's there, I'm stopping.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Man, I mean, the atmosphere in the arena was amazing until after the first OT.
Then you get a little nervous? Is that...
And there was a really just nervous, quiet vibe over the entire arena. And I could feel it kind of starting in that first OT as they just weren't able to pull away. And they let Milwaukee stick around and let Milwaukee stick around. A friend of mine had messaged me and had asked me that exact same thing. And I said, it's brutal in here right now.
Right.
And he said, what do you mean? So I sent him a little clip, and you could just hear me yell out, let's fucking go. Because you can't hear anything else in this. Like, there's just, you could hear a pin drop otherwise in the arena.
Yeah.
Once they got going in that second overtime, obviously everybody picked up and it got pretty ramped up again towards the end. But definitely that was the first time I felt that nervous energy all playoffs. Even towards the end of the fourth quarter, it never seemed like that. It just always felt like the Raptors were going to win this game one way or the other.
Right.
But I mean, you know, all's well that ends well, right?
Sure, yeah.
So, big kind of fourth quarter, I can keep saying fourth quarter, but second OT there for a lot of the team, considering we had two of our best players out who had fouled out. And maybe the biggest cheer was when Giannis actually fouled out.
Yeah, sure. Get this monster out of here.
That actually got the crowd pretty ramped up, I got to say.
I get that for sure. What have you made of this so far? You know, I ran it down a little bit, but you've certainly got the more educated eye on this thing. I thought, obviously, in game one, what Kyle did from three was unbelievable. Kawhi had it going, although I've seen some people make the argument that in the fourth, they didn't like his body language very much. But that was a game that it felt like they could have had and maybe could have changed the entire complexion of the series. Game two was a disaster, and game three, they squeak one out. It's legit. But as we sit here 2-1 right now, what have you kind of taken away from this? Has anything surprised you? Like, where are we at right now?
Ooh, good question, man. If I said before the series going in, if we were down 2-1 with a chance to tie in game four, I probably would have been happy. And if you had polled the average Raptor fan, they probably would have been happy as well.
Right.
I think the one that really bothers everybody is that game two. That just, it didn't seem like, I don't know, man, maybe it just didn't show up. Maybe they didn't have it that day. It didn't look good. The optics weren't great.
No.
At least from the TV, right? It just didn't look good. And they couldn't get anything going. And Milwaukee was just feeding off their fans. But that's been the Raptors this playoff series, playoff run, right?
Yep.
They're great one game. They're shitty the next game. And it's hard to kind of put your finger on what makes them great one day and look like world beaters. And the next day, they look like they got their energy sucked out by the Monstars. Like, you just can't figure that out, right? And I get
reference.
It. It's very frustrating to be a fan in that sense, because you just don't, you know, it feels like that blonde and brunette those beers are named after.
Yeah, exactly.
After who just kind of keep playing with my emotions a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Listen, I mean, Milwaukee's a very good team, right? We're, apologies to the Trailblazers, but we're down to three of the best four teams in the league right now. Right, these games aren't going to be easy. They are supposed to go down to the last minute, and that's fucking playoff basketball, just like it's playoff hockey and playoff football.
First versus second. This is going to be tight.
We were never going to run away with this, and you know, I think I told you at the beginning, like I'd be surprised if we win this series,
right?
But I don't think it's out of the question either. I think Milwaukee's a deserving number one seed and the best team of the East so far. And I also think the Raptors are just giving them a hard time.
Yeah.
Right? There's a lot of talk in the U.S. On some of those channels down there about, oh, you know, the Raptors are lucky that Milwaukee's had two bad shooting nights. And I'm like, to me, I'm sitting there going, but you said the same thing about Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just the Raptors are pretty damn good at defense.
Yeah.
Right?
Forcing them to take bad shots, forcing them to take shots they don't want to take.
That's it. And I went back this morning and looked back at the statistics from last night's game. And from three, I think Milwaukee was shooting around 30% or something like that. But it was basically all the guys from the bench, guys like George Hill, who really went off. I think he was like 3 from 4. There was one or two other guys who had really good stats. Their starting rotation was absolutely atrocious from three ball.
Right.
Mirotić, I think, was 1 of 6. Brogdon, I believe, was like 1 of 7. They're not shooting well, or again, they're actually being pressured into bad shots. The defense is great. The Raptors have shown all playoffs that they have great perimeter defense, and that's how Milwaukee lives and dies.
Yeah.
And what it's turned into now is they made a change for game three, and they put Kawhi onto Giannis for, I won't say the whole time, but way more possessions.
Right.
I think it was I just saw a statistic pop up on ESPN that was like the first two games, he was guarding him 16 times of those two games. Last night, he guarded them 30 plus plays.
Yeah, wow. So and kept a clear to change of pace there.
Clear change of pace and kept him to 1 of 9 shooting.
Yeah.
Within that. So, I mean, to say he shut him down is an understatement.
For sure.
He definitely gets frustrated. It's an interesting thing. I mean, he's been the best player in the league all year, and he's probably going to win the MVP this year.
You're talking about Giannis now.
About Giannis, sorry.
Yep.
You haven't seen this team deal with any they haven't had to go through any tough moments yet, right? And they've had a very easy playoffs. It's interesting to see them last night and how they reacted to a couple calls not going their way,
mm-hmm.
really tough defense, and a Raptor team that just continually, every time they tried to make a run, the Raptors just shut them down.
Yeah.
And they did, you know, at least, you know, you're expecting Giannis, you're expecting those star players to make that run, to you know, put their
Well,
their
that's flag almost more nerve-wracking, right? Like, this hasn't happened yet, so you're waiting for it. You know it's coming, and you're like, but we're still so tight, and how long can I wait, right? And it just never came.
Oh, and but see, I'm looking at it from the other side.
Okay.
Where, yeah, there's always that fear like, is this the series that Giannis just figures it out?
Yeah.
Or is this the series we look back on in 2 years and go, and he goes, yeah, this was the loss that made me better.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So I'm actually thinking of it from that old LeBron versus the Celtics understand. Way.
I'm a bit of a pessimist, man. So I look at things a little more negatively.
And it's very easy being a Toronto sports fan
for
your entire
life.
Yeah, for
sure. I'm full value for
right?
this, man. I've earned this.
Now, you know, if this was the DeRozan Raptors
yeah.
and Valanciunas Raptors, I'm not feeling comfortable and confident about this. This being the Kawhi and Kyle Raptors, I feel a lot I'll feel a certain amount of comfort that we can make this a best of three.
Wow.
You know, I really feel that the Raptors found a way to get some offense really going last game.
Yeah.
And, you know, they got a guy like Norm Powell back in the fold and got him moving, and he was playing great defense. And the Raptors had something silly like 10 blocks as a team yesterday. They had a ton of steals. They were very active. They were pressing the play at all moments. They weren't taking those and against, you know, against Philly, there was times where it looked like they were falling asleep a bit.
Yeah.
It didn't look like that team. This is the team that you expected to see, even though they didn't shoot particularly well either. But again, that's partly Milwaukee, and Milwaukee being a very good defensive team.
They're going to force you into some things too. That's what do you make of, cause it felt like he was starting to get a little bit of heat, but he comes through a bit in game three. What do you make of Pascal Siakam the last little while?
I think with Pascal, we're seeing a very young player trying to figure out how to play under the spotlight.
Yeah.
You know, it's always easy when nobody sees you coming, right? And the problem is now people are game planning for him.
Yeah. You're a crucial part of this, and they're ready for you.
that's it. And, you know, we saw him break down a little bit at the end of that fourth quarter where he could have iced the game. And he missed two very crucial free throws with, yeah, you know, 20 seconds left or whatever was on the clock.
Right.
And you could see, I mean, where my seats are, they're shooting towards us in the fourth quarter. And you could just see it on his face. You know, he didn't have that confidence that you're expecting.
Right.
Out of somebody in the fourth quarter. And like I just said about Giannis, I think this is the playoff series where he's going to learn, and he's just going to come back next year that much more mature and that much more prepared for these types of series, right?
Where, yeah,
you know, the regular season, guys take nights off, guys don't play every series very hard. It's a little easier to get your points.
Sure.
But like you said, you know, now you're a crucial part of this. People are keying in on you. You've got to have another level. You've got to have an extra move that they don't know about just yet. You got to find ways to assert your dominance the way that he's physically capable of. And I think every series, it's gotten a little bit harder for him. And I don't know if that's just the intensity is getting turned up, or the teams are, you know, they're better teams and they're game planning better. But there's definitely, you know, this is also a guy who's only been playing basketball for like 7 years.
Yeah.
Right?
Unreal.
He's still actually just learning the game, right? He's not learning to be more physical. He's literally learning basketball.
Yeah, yeah.
As he's in the conference finals with a chance to go to the championship round, right? I mean, this is insane. So I do think, you know, some of the thoughts about him about maybe it being too hard or whatever, or being too hard on him, you know, it's a little short-sighted.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, be hard on Norm Powell, be hard on Van Vliet. But I think this guy, you know, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. And
let's not Nylander this guy.
Right. Yeah. Like if I'm going to give anybody a free pass on the team, it's going to be that guy.
Right. What has caught your eye? If anything, you know, we'll kind of get ready to wind this one down. It's been a long weekend for a lot of people, but what's standing out to you out in the West? Anything at all surprised you so far there?
You know, there's a really interesting storyline going on in the West, and it's not that the Warriors are beating Portland. I mean, a little bit that they came back the last two games, so game 2 and 3, from being down like 15, 20 points in the fourth quarter, which was quite remarkable. That was before I forgot what drinks I was drinking the other night. But I did catch part of that comeback.
Yeah. All right.
The great storyline coming out of there is what's happening with Kevin Durant and what's happening to this Golden State Warriors team. They were obviously winning anyways, and nobody expected them to really lose to Portland.
Yeah.
But not having Kevin Durant against Portland has seemed to open up their offense again. And it's become – the ball movement's become better. Steph Curry, if it's possible, looks better than he normally does.
Yeah.
Although he's getting the same amount of points, Klay Thompson's more involved. Draymond Green looks like the Draymond Green everybody grew to love when the Warriors kind of came out of nowhere a couple of years back. So it's a very interesting kind of dynamic, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens, not so much result-wise when Kevin Durant comes back, but body language-wise. Right? What's happening on the
vibe around the team, how we share the ball around, you know, what does it do to chemistry?
All those little things.
Because I think we're all expecting he's gone, right, at the end of the year. He's off to New York.
It looks like the writing is just on the wall completely, right? Whether it's New York or Brooklyn or wherever he decides to go to change his brand up a bit, he's gone, right? He's gone. And almost to a point, I think the rest of the team has this chip on their shoulder to show everybody that we don't care if he goes.
We can do this without him. Yeah.
We want to remind you how good we are and why he came to us.
Yeah.
Type of move. And God, it's scary for the rest of the league.
Absolutely it is, man.
Right? Because when they were in round one against the Clippers, it definitely looked like a team that was ripe for the picking.
Yeah. We talked about that on the show, right? And here they are again, though. Conference final, doing it again.
Doing it again. And again, look scarier than they did before.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
You know, and we're talking about a team. I don't know if there's ever been a 5-year run like this. You know, I don't even think Michael's Bulls cared this much about like just the regular season and playoffs.
Yeah.
They're just consistently
Yeah, there were years with the Bulls there where they got it done in the regular season because they had to, and then turned the switch, right? Like, whereas the Warriors seem to be pedal down all the time.
Just every day.
Yeah.
Every day. And I mean, that probably has to do more with the fact that Michael enjoyed playing cards till 5 o'clock in the morning every day.
Yeah, Michael had a lot going on.
Yeah, he was a busy guy.
Yeah, he's filming Space Jam. You know, he got shit to do here. So I think we're going to wind this one down. You can follow Matty on Instagram at MattDoesPhysio. He's also been to a bunch of these Raptor games, and he's put up some great video at Talkin Audio on Instagram as well, including some shots from Game 3 that you can check out over there. What's on the blog right now, man?
I took the weekend off to support Queen Victoria as a good Canadian boy. But I think we're going to do something. Damian Lillard looks like he's got what they're calling a popped out rib. Yeah. So I think we're going to do a little something on that. And then we actually have, if anybody is a soccer fan, which I know it's huge in Canada, sarcasm.
Very much intended.
Intended. Thank you. Yeah. We put together a little prehab thing, as it is coming to soccer season now in Canada, with a team I work with. So we actually got we got to work with a guy from Yahoo Sports who does the camera work for the Raptors for this. So yeah. We're going to be doing a little bit of a series on that, especially as the NBA injuries are obviously winding down as the season's winding down as well.
Okay. Before we get out, we both were cracking open something new here. This is, like I said, this is the Anvil Porter that I've been drinking on this one from the Lund's Mill Brewery in Nova Scotia. It's a little more carbonated, I think, than I would have expected, but pretty tasty. Otherwise, I'm definitely enjoying it. How do you enjoy your 17 name beer over there?
The sorbet sour was excellent. I think because it's an IPA, it's not quite as sour as somebody who like sours but doesn't love them.
Yeah.
This was just enough sour.
Okay.
And enough sweetness. And actually, if I can say this, almost too easy to drink.
Yeah, that's a problem sometimes. I was having that with the Old Flames on the weekend, and they just go down nice, and before you know it, yeah, you got some problems. You got some things to
exactly.
Just trying to maintain, right? So. That's been great. Like I mentioned earlier, you can follow Matty on Twitter at Matthew Lang. He's at MattDoesPhysio on Instagram. We're at Talkin Audio and all those places. We do have Captain Blowhard returning to the studio this week, probably Wednesday night. So you can look something on Thursday. We'll talk a little bit of the NHL playoffs and maybe look to get a new episode of Audio Whiplash out as well. But until then, this has been Talkin Sports. For Matty Lang, I'm Matt Robinson. We hope he's had a great long weekend and a great week coming up.
Listening. You can get more TCA at TallCanAudio.com or by searching TallCanAudio on your favorite podcast app.